Jewel felt as though she couldn't hide anything from him, which is exactly why he was right. She had been avoiding him. But he didn't need to know that.
I haven't been avoiding you, Dalton. I've just been busy.
He took a step toward her, and then another until he stood in front of her. His fingers slipped under her chin and lifted her face until she was looking at him. She tried to back away, but he held her gently but firmly.
Too busy for your mate?
Jewel shivered as she felt his warm breath blow across her face. She was praying fervently that he wasn't being affected by the touch, that the darkness wasn't growing inside of him. His skin against hers felt so good, even if it was just a tiny touch. It had been so long since they'd touched, really touched. Jewel hadn't realized just how badly she needed it. She forced herself to keep her eyes open and not lean into his strong body that was crowding her own. She didn't know how to answer his question. Regardless of his words, she still didn't feel like his mate, at least not anymore. And for that reason, it was hard for her to be intimate with him in any way. She started, but then stopped because she realized she didn't have a clue what to say.
Jewel,
Dalton purred to her as he leaned down. His lips stopped just short of touching hers, and she had to force herself to keep breathing.
Stop, she said desperately. You shouldn't. We can't. Please.
She was begging him not only with her words, but her eyes as well. His eyes were so intense, so focused on her, and she could tell that he wanted her. She tried to turn away, but he still had a hold of her chin.
Believe it or not, little dove, a man can touch a woman without lustful intent. There are many forms of touch. Comfort, encouragement, friendship, love. It doesn't all have to do with sexual attraction. I can touch you without needing to bed you.
Her eyes widened at his bluntness. She was aware of the truth of his words.
Now that we have that little detail dealt with, do you still want to be mine?
It was a question he'd asked her before. She wanted to scream that, of course, she wanted to be his. But she was so unsure about them now that there was no bond to reveal how he truly felt about her. Jewel wasn't sure where they truly stood since she'd revealed Vulcan's curse. She heard Dalton's words, but a part of her didn't understand how he could possibly still want her. She was worried that he just felt obligated to her and, therefore, felt he should continue the relationship.
"Answer me,"
he growled.
"How do I know that you still really want me?"
she asked him finally. It was a question that she needed the answer to. Dalton's eyes narrowed as he took a step forward. She had to take a step back to keep from being pressed up against his hard body. Her lower back hit the counter of the sink, and she could retreat no further. Dalton took another step, and another, until he was pressed closely against her. Both his hands came up and framed her face. Without waiting for her permission, Dalton swooped down and took possession of her mouth. His lips were warm, full, and delicious. Jewel felt his tongue dart out and caress her lips, and she gasped at the sensation. One of his hands slipped around to the back of her neck, and he threaded his fingers into her hair, tilting her head to the right so he could deepen the kiss. He demanded entrance to her mouth, and she could no more deny him what he wanted than she could stop her own heart from beating. He pressed more closely against her, his warmth enveloping her. Jewel could feel his rapid heartbeat, and her own sped up in response. He groaned as she slipped her tongue into his mouth and slid it over his own. He tasted like home, if such a thing could have a taste. All too quickly he was pulling back. His eyes squeezed closed tightly and a grimace of pain marring his handsome face.
"Damn it!" Jewel snarled at him. "I told you this would happen. I told you not to touch me. Why did you touch me?"
"I'm fine, Jewel."
His words came out in a low growl. His eyes opened slowly and they glowed as they stared at her. She tried to move back, practically attempting to climb on the counter behind her, but he didn't allow a centimeter of space between their bodies. He simply pulled his head back so he could look down at her.
"Did that feel like I don't want you?"
Dalton asked her boldly. Jewel shook her head.
"No, it felt stupid. Why would you do that?"
"Because you're mine, and no damn curse is going to keep me from you. The bond might have been what brought us together, but what holds me to you is you. Don't you see that? I want you, Jewel Stone. I want you to be my mate. What do I have to do to convince you of that?"
Jewel's body began to shake. She wanted to believe him so desperately, but she was so scared that the darkness inside of her would chase him away. She was scared he would grow tired of dealing with the curse. She supposed the only thing there was left to do was come clean. She looked up into his beautiful eyes, and her breath caught in her throat. He was so handsome. Jewel had always felt he was way out of her league. "I need to tell you something," she admitted. She knew he could see how scared she was of telling him. He ran his thumb across her bottom lip.
"You have my undivided attention,"
he told her as he took her hand and led her from the bathroom back into the bedroom. He walked them over to her bed and pushed her to sit down as he sat down beside her. Dalton angled his body so that he was facing her and then waited. Jewel's hand shook as she fidgeted with the hem of her shirt. She took a deep breath and then it spilled out of her.
"I'm scared. I'm scared of how much I need you. I'm scared of how much losing you will hurt. I know so many things, but I don't know how to handle these emotions. I don't know how to do this."
She motioned between them.
"What if you grow tired of me? What if we can't figure out a way to break the curse? Can you really be tied to a woman you can never be with physically?"
Jewel didn't look at him. She didn't want to see the disappointment at her weakness in his eyes, not after the kiss he'd just given her. She was sure it would be the last one she'd ever receive, and she didn't want the memory tainted by his regret. She sat there, waiting for him to tell her that it was over, that he didn't want any part of her or the filth inside of her, and that she was right, that he would eventually grow tired of all of it, the curse, the darkness, the magic that wasn't her own flowing through her. Dalton's blood felt like ice in his veins as rage engulfed him. Not only had Vulcan beaten her, but he'd forced himself on her, maybe not sexually, but it was an invasion just the same. Then he'd placed a curse on her. He'd made her doubt him, doubt his love. Blood was sacred. The sharing of it for his kind was beyond special, and he wouldn't deny that the thought of another's blood in her body, being a part of her, infuriated him. He was infuriated that she thought so little of his integrity that he would walk away from his mate just because things were tough. Though he tried not to be too hard on her about it, she was young and so very innocent. He didn't speak right away. He couldn't. Dalton didn't want to scare her. So instead, he took her hand in his and allowed the warmth of her touch to soothe him. Jewel's skin was as soft as silk and much too tempting. He quickly pushed away any feelings that might activate the darkness inside of him. He felt his wolf stir as her scent danced around him, and he couldn't help his need to feel more of her. But this wasn't lustful. It was purely the need of his wolf, the need and comfort of touch from the one person who could settle his beast. Dalton reached for her and grinned when a small yelp came out of her as he picked her up and placed her in his lap. He wrapped his arms around her waist and laid his chin on her shoulder so that his mouth was right next to her ear. He felt the trembling of her body and was pleased that she was still affected by him.
"Dalton?"
Jewel's soft voice was full of questions.
"Hmm,"
he rumbled, still not trusting himself to speak.
"Are you all right?"
He knew part of the question was in regards to the curse, and some of it was in regards to what she revealed to him. He wasn't sure how to answer that. He wasn't all right, but he was a little bit better now that she was in his arms, where she belonged. Finally, he attempted to answer her truthfully, while simultaneously hoping that he wouldn't scare her.
"I'm angry, but not with you, little dove. I'm angry. No, I'm enraged because Vulcan,"
he snarled the name,
"took something from you. He took your self-confidence and made you doubt yourself. He's convinced you that you don't have the ability to choose good over evil. Jewel, regardless of the things you crave, be it knowledge or power, you are still in control. You still have the choice of what to pursue. What angers me even more, though, is that you actually believe I wouldn't want you. He's made you doubt us, and that angers me, too."
Her eyes shot up to his, and he could see in her devastated face that he was right. Dalton reached up and cupped her face.
"You can't get rid of me so easily."
"Dalton,"
she started to speak, but he cut her words off as he pressed his lips to hers. He pushed her back until she was lying flat on her back with his larger body sheltering hers. Dalton allowed just enough of his body weight to lie on her so that she knew she couldn't escape. He wanted all of her attention, all of her thoughts on him. He made sure their bodies were touching from the lengths of their legs all the way up to their foreheads. He pressed his forehead into hers as he met her bright gaze. Her chest rose and fell rapidly as her breathing increased.
"I want you, Jewelstone. I want to kiss you. I want to touch you. I want to do things to you that only your husband will be allowed to do. And if I have anything to say about it, I will be that man. There is nothing inside of you, nothing you could say or do that will change that. You are mine."
"Dalton, please, you can't," she pleaded with him because she cared so deeply for him, and he appreciated it, but again, she needed to realize that not all touch was lustful. So he continued without acknowledging her pleas. He told her for what felt like the millionth time. He'd come to terms with the fact that he might have to tell her that every day for the rest of their lives.
"You are mine, and I am yours. I will always crave your touch, your kiss, your scent, and your taste. And I have to admit that I wish the bond was there, so that you could feel the truth in my words."
She reached up and cupped his face.
"I can feel it in your touch," she practically whispered. "I don't want you to ever stop touching me, but we can't risk this. I won't risk you."
He touched his lips to hers briefly before pulling away and grinning at her playfully.
"It's not up to you. I can control my desire, little dove."
He knew he should climb off of her. His control was not even close to what it needed to be for him to be in such an intimate position, but his wolf wasn't budging. He needed her. He began to feel the darkness growing again, and it was cold, like ice water being poured into his veins. Okay, so maybe his control wasn't as good as he thought. He ignored the pain and took what he so desperately needed. Her. He needed her. Dalton pushed his face into her neck, nuzzling her, and breathing in her scent at the same time.
"Damn, you smell good, female," he practically growled.
His tongue darted out and licked her skin, causing him to groan at the same time that she moaned.
"You taste even better."
"Dalton," she breathed out, a desperate plea, but he was pretty sure she had no idea what she was begging for.
His little dove was incredibly innocent in the ways of physical intimacy, and he knew that she didn't understand what her body was screaming for.
"I just... please..."
she breathed out as his lips pressed against her neck and down her collarbone. He pressed his chest closer to her and heard the air rush from her lungs. He chuckled, loving the way she responded to him. Then his own breath was pulled from him as the darkness grew even more. He needed to get up. He needed to pull himself together, but he didn't want to let her go. Not yet.
"I know what you need,"
he whispered against her skin as his hand slipped under her shirt and splayed across her stomach.
"Please,"
she begged again. Dalton's hand moved up over her rib cage and slipped around to her back. He moved his hand up until his fingers slipped beneath her bra strap. He itched for the day when he could flick the clasp open and unwrap the gift of her body, but he knew that day wasn't today. Though he longed to taste every inch of her and claim every part of her, he respected her too much to take what wasn't his. She was his, but the precious gift of her body belonged to the one who would commit himself to her for life. And he intended to do just that. When Jewel arched her back, pressing closer to him, Dalton bit his lip to keep from moaning. He had to be the one to stop things, because the look in his mate's eyes told him that she was too far gone.
"Damn, she was beautiful," he thought as she gazed up at him with unabashed desire. "One day, very soon, little dove, that look is going to get you ravished by me."
"I hope so, because that will mean the curse is broken," she said breathlessly.
Then, as if the words brought her to her senses, she began to push against him.
"Get up. I can see in your face that you're in pain."
He groaned and dropped his head to her chest.
"It's worth it. If there was no curse, I would not make this so easy on you, considering it's torture for me."
I'm pretty sure a $3 whore isn't easier than me at the moment. All that's missing is the silver platter for me to lay on," she told him.
Damn it, he growled. I'm going to peel Vulcan's flesh from his body slowly for this offense.
Considering I want to wait until we are bound and married to take our relationship further, maybe the curse is a good thing? It came out as a question.
The hell it is,
he growled as he rolled off of her. Dalton pushed away the image of her wrapping her legs around his waist to hold him in place. One day, he vowed he would have all of her. He laid on his back, staring up at the ceiling as they both gathered themselves. He hoped now that she at least knew how much he wanted her.
Do you trust me now? Do you see that I have no plan on going anywhere?
Yes, I trust you, she whispered breathlessly. Dalton smiled.
If you need me to remind you from time to time, I'm happy to do so.
I don't think that will be necessary. You will not be touching me again. I saw it in your eyes, Dalton. The darkness was growing.
I hate to break it to you, but there is nothing that will keep me from touching you. No, Jewel, he cut her off. I will tell you over and over if I must. I am yours, and you are mine, and with that come certain rights. You have the right to touch me whenever you want or need to, and I, little dove, have the right to touch you whenever I want or need to.
To his surprise, he heard her whisper.
You're right, you do.
What?
He asked as he looked at her.
Why do I get the feeling you aren't telling me something?
Jewel let out a resigned sigh. She rolled over onto her stomach and turned her head to face him. She lifted the back of her shirt, and his breath caught at the sight of her creamy skin.
You'll have to pull the waist of my jeans down a bit.
His eyes widened at her words.
I thought you wanted me to control my need of you, little dove. Inviting me to begin pulling at clothing isn't exactly helpful in that control.
Just do it, Dalton.
He didn't know why she was doing this, but he rolled to his side and used his left hand to gently tug the back of her jeans down. He didn't have to pull them very far to see what it was she wanted him to see. Dalton was pretty sure his heart stuttered in his chest as he stared down at the markings on Jewel's body, markings that matched his own.
"Ow,"
he whispered.
"Yours didn't go away," she pointed out.
Her breath caught as he ran a finger across her skin and began tracing the markings. A surge of possessiveness rushed through him.
"Do you need any more proof that you belong with me?"
he asked, unable to keep the pleasure from his voice.
"It might not mean anything, Dalton."
"Is that what you really believe?"
His finger continued to trace the markings. He slowly began to feel the darkness rising again. He let out a harsh breath and reluctantly pulled her waistband back up and tugged her shirt down, covering her tempting flesh.
"No,"
Jewel finally answered.
"Good."
He rose from the bed and held out a hand to her. Jewel hesitated. Dalton didn't give her a chance to think on it. He leaned forward and took her hand and pulled her to her feet.
"I'm going to let you get some sleep. I'll be in my usual spot just outside your door. I expect tomorrow to be different than the past 2 days. I want you by my side. We can't get to know each other better if we don't spend any time together."
He could see the resignation in her eyes. She was giving in. Thank goodness for that. Dalton was beginning to think he was going to have to tie her to him in order to keep her nearby. Once he was out in the hall, he leaned his back against the wall and pressed his head into the hard surface. His eyes closed, and the sight of her skin bearing his markings filled his mind. A slow smile formed on his lips. Perhaps Vulcan hadn't really been able to fully destroy the bond. Just maybe the fact the markings were still on both of them was proof that they were still bound to one another. Dalton felt lighter than he had in weeks. His wolf was in heaven, knowing that their mate bore their markings.
"I told you she was ours,"
his beast growled at him. The man conceded to the wolf. He quickly stripped and phased to his wolf form as he tucked himself on the floor against the door that separated him. Both he and his beast felt a contentment flow over them that hadn't been there since the bond had been stripped away.
"Ours," his beast rumbled again. "Always,"
the man agreed. Jewel watched as Dalton left the room, closing the door quietly behind him. She was a tad shell-shocked. She didn't know what had happened. First, she'd been determined to keep distance between them, and then the next thing she knew, she was caving to his every whim. She'd let things go too far when they kissed, and had watched as the magic Vulcan cast began to work. But what could she do? The damn stubborn wolf was going to do as he pleased, and it's not like Jewel could do anything to stop him. She'd just have to try and be more careful. Dalton had told her that he wanted her by his side, and that was exactly where she wanted to be and would be. But that didn't mean she couldn't set some boundaries for them in order to keep him safe. Jewel readied herself for bed, brushing her teeth and hair. Then she crawled in between the warmth of the sheets. Her eyes drifted closed, and her mind was filled with thoughts about Dalton, Vulcan, and what was to become of them all. As sleep pulled her under, she swore she could hear the evil Fae whispering in her ear, something about one of the other healers and sharing the gift he'd given her. Jewel gave up trying to understand what he was saying and decided it had to be a figment of her imagination. She knew that post-traumatic stress disorder was a common occurrence for people who'd been through very horrible experiences, and they could hallucinate as a result. So she chalked it up to that and fell into a deep slumber. Anna rubbed her arms as she stood at the entrance to Adira's home. Her skin was tingly with the anticipation that something was coming. At first, she thought it was the wolf who would be her mate, eventually. But as the feeling grew more and more ominous, she knew it wasn't him.
"Everything okay?" Adira asked from behind her.
Anna turned slightly so she could see the pixie but still see out as well.
"I just can't shake this feeling that something bad is going to happen."
"Have you ever had premonitions before?"
Anna shrugged. "I wouldn't call them premonitions. I mean, I've had feelings when something big was going to happen. I don't really know how to explain it. Like, there was this time when I just knew something was going to happen to the business across the street from our shop. Every time I looked at it, I would get this sick feeling. Sure enough, 3 days later, it burned. The fire department was able to save some of it, but they suffered considerable loss. I felt like I should have warned them somehow. But how do you tell someone, 'Hey, something bad is going to happen to you?' People would look at me like I was crazy. So I just kept my mouth shut."
"Did you ever tell your mom about it?"
Adira asked.
"Once," Anna said and smiled. "She, of course, claimed it was my gypsy blood. At the time, I thought she was crazy."
Adira stepped up next to her and looked out into the forest. Anna glanced down at the woman and wondered why she didn't fly more. If she'd had wings, Anna would be flying everywhere. She didn't want to offend Adira, so she kept her question to herself.
"Of all the people to show up here,"
the pixie suddenly growled. Anna followed her gaze and saw a male pixie flying toward them. He held out his hands in a pleading gesture.
"Wait, Adira, please, I have important news,"
the male begged as he dropped to the ground in front of them.
"Cecil, why does your face look like that?"
That was when Anna realized that this was the king's brother, and his face was back to normal.
"I found someone who could help, but before you curse me again," he hurried, "I'm here to try and redeem myself. Jewel has been released by Vulcan."
Anna's heart pounded in her chest.
"What?"
she breathed out.
"Is she okay?"
Cecil nodded at her, but his eyes were wide, as if he wasn't quite sure what he was saying was true.
"So can we leave?"
"That's what I'm here to tell you. Adira is supposed to take you back to Perry's realm. They need all the healers back together," he explained.
Anna was both excited and afraid. She wanted to see everyone again, but she knew that it probably meant meeting him as well. She let out a resigned sigh. It wasn't like she could hide from him forever. Adira's eyes narrowed on the male.
"How do we know you're telling the truth?"
"Do you think I'm dumb enough to stir your ire again?"
Cecil asked her. Adira seemed to think about it for a moment before finally shaking her head.
"I would hope you aren't that dumb."
She then looked up at Anna.
"Do you think we should go back to your group first or go straight to Perry's?"
"The group has already left," Cecil quickly added. "That's why they sent me to tell you."
"Why didn't one of the Fae just flash here?" Anna asked.
"They apparently have a lead on where Vulcan is hiding, so the Fae all jumped to there."
Cecil's explanation was valid, but at the same time, Anna felt like it was somehow off. But she wanted to see Jewel, so she'd just have to take her chances with the information Cecil was giving them.
"We need to go," Anna told Adira. "Regardless of whether everything he says is true or not, I need to see Jewel."
"Is this one of those feelings again?"
the pixie woman asked. Anna thought about it. Was it a feeling, or did she just really want to see that her friend was okay?
"Honestly, I don't know," Adira nodded.
"Sometimes we just have to act on faith. Let's be off, then."
Anna followed her out of the shelter of her home and into the forest. This time, Anna noted, Adira was flying. The pixie paused and looked back to Cecil, who stood just outside the entry to her home.
"After you informed us that Anna was to return to Fairy, what were your orders?"
Anna thought it a peculiar question, but then figured Adira had her reasons for asking. Cecil motioned back toward the direction that Anna had come from when she'd followed Adira home.
"I'm to report back to my brother."
Adira stared at him a few seconds more before saying,
"I really hope you aren't lying to me."
Then she turned and started off again. Anna quickened her pace to keep up with the pixie. Neither of them spoke. Anna was too busy worrying about Jewel and the possibility of meeting her future mate. It was becoming less and less odd to think of him that way, as her mate, not her boyfriend or husband. She wondered why that was. Perhaps she was becoming more acceptant of it than she realized. She still had reservations and fears, but maybe they could move slowly, like a snail's pace slow.
"You're going to have to keep up, or we won't get there until next week," Adira called out.
Anna's attention snapped back to the present, and she realized that she had slowed to a near crawl.
"Sorry, just thinking about some things."
"Well, think faster, and maybe your feet will move quicker."
"Thanks for the suggestion," Anna retorted dryly.
She picked up her pace, pushing away all her worries and focused on getting back to Perry's house as quickly as they could. Her stomach suddenly dropped at the thought of being back at the Fay's home. She was definitely having a feeling this time, and the feeling was telling her that whatever waited for her in Fairy was extremely dangerous. Gustavo surged to his feet as he felt the pull of the mate bond being stretched. It grew less and less until she was just an ache in his gut again.
"She's gone," he growled.
"What? Who's gone?" Adam asked as he too stood up.
"Anna," he said through clenched teeth. "She's not in this realm any longer."
"How can you tell?" Kara asked.
"I can feel her distance through our bond. It feels like it did when I was at Perry's home and she was here."
"Where could she possibly be going?"
Karina wondered out loud.
"Do you think something happened to her? Like someone's taken her?" Stella spoke up next.
Gustavo considered the question, but then shook his head.
"I didn't feel any alarm from her. If she'd been in danger, I would have felt it. Her fear would have been strong enough to come through the bond on its own."
"Why on earth would she just suddenly decide to leave, and not even tell us?" Heather asked.
"Maybe she knows something we don't," Stella pointed out. "Can you flash to Paris?" Gustavo turned to Adam.
His wolf was growling impatient with all the talk, wanting some action. Adam nodded. He looked at his mate.
"Should I take all of you?"
Gustavo let out a low growl, and he was sure his wolf was peering out of his eyes.
"There is no time for discussion. Please, just flash us there. You can come back for the others."
Karina gave her mate a slight nod.
"Grab on,"
Adam told him as he held out his arm. Gustavo took the offered arm. He squeezed his eyes closed tightly in an attempt to get his wolf under control. He didn't want the first thing Anna to see when she met him to be his agitated beast. After several heartbeats, he opened his eyes and saw all of the same eyes that had been staring at him still there.
"Why are we still in the pixie realm?"
he snapped as he looked over at the Fae. Adam's eyes were wide.
"I don't get it. I'm trying, but it's like there's a barrier. I can't force my magic through it, and therefore I can't flash."
"Are you telling me we're stuck here?"
"You could try the veil,"
Karina quickly pointed out. Just as they started off in the direction of the veil, they were brought up short by Ainsel and several of his guards. Gustavo could tell by the grave look on the king's face he wasn't going to like what he was about to hear.
"I've just been informed that our realm is sealed. The veil has been closed."
He looked up at Adam.
"Could you go to Perry's?"
Adam was already shaking his head before the king could get the question out. I've just tried flashing. My magic isn't working.
Wait, Kara said as she reached into her pocket and pulled out her phone. She and the other girls had been pleasantly surprised to find out the fey magic could be used to charge their phones without electricity. Why don't we try calling someone?
Do you have anyone's cell numbers? Krina asked her.
I've got Sally's. Kara attempted the phone call while Gustavo and the others watched eagerly. But their hopes were quickly dashed when the young healer pulled the phone from her ear. She looked at the group and shook her head.
It won't make the call. I chose the number and nothing happens.
It only makes sense that since fey magic can affect the phones, whatever this magic is could as well, Adam pointed out.
The Pixie King let out a string of expletives.
Vulcan must know that some of the healers are here, he said as he glanced around their group as though looking for them. Are they all safe?
Stella, Kara, and I are present and accounted for, and so bored we'd almost take some bodily harm just for the adrenaline dump. Anna, however, seems to be off on an adventure of her own, Heather offered as Kara and Stella guided her over to the group.
Anna? Ainsel's brow dipped low. Is Anna the healer that is your mate?
Gustavo heard the caution in the Pixie King's tone. He knew a predator when he saw one.
Yes, the wolf gritted out. She is with one of your people.
It sounded like an accusation, though Gustavo didn't mean it that way, or at least he didn't think he did.
Yes, Perry mentioned that Adira was hosting her. Adira is a powerful pixie. She will be able to help keep your Anna relatively safe.
Ainsel, Krina spoke up. Words like relatively safe aren't helpful when talking to male wolves about their mates.
Gustavo could feel his claws digging into the flesh of his palms. It had been so long since he'd lost so much control of himself that he began to involuntarily phase. The king paled as he looked in Gustavo's barely contained rage. He had every right to be scared. King Ainsel had an unbonded alpha, male wolf, stranded in his realm, while his unbonded mate was in another realm. Yes, the Pixie King definitely should be afraid.
I don't know about you guys, the healer named Kara whispered, but I'm thinking boredom is a thing of the past.
Chapter 12.
Come away with me, sister. Let us dance through the night. Feel the magic with me, sister, so real and so right. Open your soul to me, sister. Give the darkness your heart. Join with me, sister. It's time to play our part.
Jewel.
Jewel's eyes snapped open just before she could watch herself lick blood from her hands. It was a nightmare, but it had felt so very real. Even as she laid there, attempting to slow her heartbeat, she could feel the sticky blood coating her skin. Jewel lifted her hands and held them in front of her face. It was still dark, so she had to give her eyes a minute to adjust before she could finally see that there was no blood. The worst part of the nightmare hadn't been watching herself lick blood off of herself, though that was pretty bad. The worst part had been watching Anna lick blood off her own hands and then seeing her smile with red-stained teeth. Why she was dreaming of Anna, she didn't know. But she didn't like that the other healer had suddenly taken a starring role in her nightmares. Jewel knew that it had something to do with the magic and blood that belonged to Vulcan, yet flowed through her veins. She was beginning to grasp just how much control the Dark Fae had over her.
"What are you up to?" she whispered into the dark room.
Jewel shook off the remainder of the bad dream and closed her eyes. She forced herself to picture anything but what had happened in the dream. The first thing her mind grasped was him. It was always him. Thoughts of Dalton could chase away the darkest dream and remind her that she wasn't alone. She didn't have to face what was to come on her own. Jewel once again let the exhaustion of her mind and body pull her into a deep sleep, all the while hoping that with Dalton at the forefront of her mind, perhaps he could keep the nightmares at bay for the remainder of the night. Dalton watched as Jewel poured herself a glass of orange juice. She seemed very contemplative this morning, as though she were trying to figure out a puzzle but didn't have all the pieces. He'd asked her if everything was all right and then realized what a stupid question that had been. Of course, everything wasn't all right. But he couldn't fix it, at least not right then.
Subconsciously, he'd been hoping she would answer with a problem that he could immediately solve. So far, she'd been perfectly capable of fixing herself breakfast and a drink. Her sleep had been restless, and several times he'd nearly gone in to check on her, but she always seemed to settle down pretty quickly, so he'd refrained. It was beyond frustrating that he couldn't fight tooth and claw against her enemy, because her enemy resided inside of her own body. But eventually he'd have Vulcan before him. Then he could release his beast onto a physical foe.
"Have you already eaten?"
Jewel's voice broke through his mental destruction of the Dark Fae. He shook his head.
"Not really hungry this morning."
Jewel tilted her head slightly and pursed her tempting lips.
"A few years ago, I would have told you that you shouldn't skip breakfast because, as we've heard repeatedly, breakfast is the most important meal of the day."
She was doing it again, giving him random facts of information. For some reason, that eased a bit of the tension he'd been feeling. Dalton had noticed for the past couple of days that Jewel hadn't been tossing out knowledge like it was candy. The fact that she was doing it now made him feel that she was okay, that perhaps the blood flowing through her veins didn't have as much control over her as she feared.
"And now?"
he asked.
"New studies are actually suggesting that skipping breakfast might help weight loss. It's very controversial, though. Considering how everyone, including the U.S. president's wife, has harped on healthy eating and 3 square meals a day, a scientific study challenging their position hasn't gone over well."
Dalton gave her his own curious look.
"Where do you learn all this stuff?"
Jewel shrugged.
"I just remember things I hear or read. Even if it's just something in passing on the news, it just sticks in my brain. It's almost like I have a filing cabinet and a spot for everything, and I can just open it up and pluck out the information I need when I need it."
"And it's never too much?"
"Considering I'm still able to store info, I guess there's still room."
They sat in comfortable silence as she ate her cereal and toast, and he watched her, unable to take his eyes off of her. Dalton honestly hadn't known if he'd ever see her again, but here she was, and he just wanted to soak up every second they spent together.
"What's the plan for today?" Jewel asked him.
A smile formed on his lips.
"I told you I was going to court you. I checked with Perry, and as of right now, she isn't going to make a move on Vulcan. She wants to check on the healers in the Pixie Realm. So we have a free day. I'm taking you on a date."
"Alone?"
she asked as she sat up a little straighter. It amused him that she was nervous to be alone with, as though he might ravish her at any second. And because he wasn't a fool and definitely wanted to ravish her, he'd secured a chaperone.
"No, we will have a chaperone, as I promised."
She relaxed a little.
"Who?"
"Who do you think happily offered?"
Dalton practically growled. Knowledge danced in her pale green eyes.
"A certain High Fae?"
He gave a single nod. He was only allowing Parizada to be the one to chaperone them because he knew without a doubt she had the power to keep Jewel safe, not only from enemies but from Dalton as well. It irked him, but it wasn't something he could change, so he figured he could at least use it to his advantage. Keeping Jewel safe was his highest priority, and he would do whatever it took, even accept help from a fae that would kill him and never bat an eye.
"She said we could go on our date as soon as you are done eating, and she will go check on the others after. Gustavo and Adam are with them, so she feels they are as safe as they can be."
Just then, Perry walked into the kitchen.
"Speak of the devil,"
Dalton thought. "Are you two lovebirds ready?" she asked, giving Jewel a bright smile. She didn't glance his way. She was still angry with him, and, perhaps, rightfully so. Jewel stood and took her bowl to the sink, quickly washing it and setting it on the counter to dry. She turned to face them and returned Perry's smile, but it didn't reach her eyes.
"Oh, good grief," Perry spouted. "You look as though I'm taking you to the gallows, Jewel. Surely he's not that bad to be around. I mean, he might have fleas, and the wet dog smell can be a bit of a turn-off, but surely you can put on a better front than that."
Dalton rolled his eyes at the Fae's attempt to annoy him. Now that Jewel was here, he couldn't care less about anything else, especially the opinion of Parizada. Jewel leaned her hip against the counter, making no move to leave. She stared at the Fae as though thinking very hard on what she wanted to say.
"Did you know," she began, that when you get angry, your body has the same chemical response as the fight-or-flight urge. The adrenal glands dump adrenaline and cortisol into the body, preparing your muscles for some form of physical exertion.
I'm going to assume you have a point to this health lesson,
Perry said dryly. Jewel kept going.
While those things are good for the fight-or-flight response and only for limited amounts of time, they are not good things when the anger draws out the adrenal response. Staying angry can physically hurt your body. It can cause insomnia, high blood pressure, stroke, skin rashes, depression, and even heart attacks. It's not worth the consequences.
While I appreciate your concern, Perry said matter-of-factly, all of those symptoms you just listed are already a part of my assortment of ongoing issues caused by stubborn, uncontrolled, foolish werewolves. Seeing as how there is no way in the foreseeable future that I will be rid of these parasitic hosts, being angry is the least of my concerns.
Perry clapped her hands as though that problem was solved and said,
Now, am I taking you two on a date, or are we going to continue to discuss all of the things that are bad for me? Which, in all honesty, doesn't matter, because I'm more likely to die at the hands of a deranged fae than from any health complications. Besides, who said my species even has those kinds of health problems?
Dalton bit back the laugh that threatened to emerge. It was clear that Jewel's little speech had affected Perry more than she wanted to admit. Jewel turned her eyes upon him and smiled.
Where are we headed?
Dalton reached out his hand to her, but she took a step back. He dropped the offered hand and stared at her for several seconds before motioning her to follow him. He led her down a large hallway. When Perry had offered to be the chaperone, he'd laughed in her face. But then she'd extended an olive branch and told him that they were much better off as allies than enemies. He'd tested her by asking her to prepare something special for his little dove. The Fae had agreed, but had made it abundantly clear that she was helping for Jewel's sake, not his. When they reached the door that held his surprise, he had a moment of apprehension. What if she didn't like it? What if she thought him silly? Dalton's wolf snarled at him, making him feel ridiculous for being insecure. If this was what human males had to go through over and over again to find their mate, he wondered why they didn't just remain single. Perry cleared her throat, and Dalton finally twisted the knob and pushed the door open. He stepped to the side so Jewel could walk past him, and the look on her face alleviated all of his self-doubt. Jewel stood motionless, staring in awe at the nostalgic room around her. It was reminiscent of one of the posh movie theaters from the 1940s and 50s. There was a huge screen with red velvet curtains draped around it. Plush chairs sat inclined in rows. The walls were draped in heavy gold and red fabric. Along the wall, every 15 feet or so, the fabric was parted, revealing a line of framed classic movie posters. The posters were from films long before Jewel's era, but she recognized a few of the titles, simply because of the popularity they maintained over time. There was a huge gleaming chandelier hanging proudly from the ceiling. The amount of crystals glittering against the light demanded the room's attention. The gold chains attaching the crystals to the frame shimmered in their own right, as though fighting the crystals for the viewer's attention. There was a popcorn cart at the front of the room, just to the right of the screen. Red and white striped containers were stacked next to it. Next to the popcorn stand was a small Coca-Cola brand Coke machine, bearing a metal plate above the coin slot that read 10 cents. It was marvelous. She looked over at Dalton and started to reach for him, but caught herself before they could embrace. Instead, she looked up at him and said as sincerely as she could,
"Thank you. I love it."
She didn't miss the flash of hurt when she'd stopped their near hug, but he smiled back at her words and shrugged, causing him to look boyish.
"I can't take all the credit."
He glanced toward Perry, who was leaning against a wall, staring at her nails, looking as though she'd rather be watching paint dry than be there with them.
"You did all of this?"
she asked the Fae.
"How?"
Perry sighed.
"When will you people learn? Yes, I did it, and the how is simply, I'm me. It's not rocket science."
"If it was, I would totally understand," Jewel pointed out.
Perry smirked.
"Humble much?"
She grinned at the Fae.
"Just stating the facts, like I always do."
Jewel nearly jumped when she felt Dalton's hand on her lower back. She whipped her head around to look at him, but he ignored her response to his touch.
"Shall we?"
He motioned to the seats. They sat in the middle of the theater. Dalton growled when Perry took the seat between them.
"Cozy," Perry cooed.
Jewel decided ignoring the jibes would be best.
"So what are we watching?"
"Well, since I am stuck here, I mean, since I have the privilege of watching the two of you grow closer, gag me, I wasn't about to watch a movie in black and white, without sound or without a little hanky-panky. Thus, we are watching Dirty Dancing. I've heard this is a classic."
Jewel laughed.
"I suppose to some it is considered as one. It has great music."
"Well, that's a relief. I was worried since the title isn't Dirty Music. I felt certain that the soundtrack would probably suck eggs."
"Perizzata, could you please get us some popcorn?"
Dalton growled.
"Sure thing."
The Fae snapped her fingers and a bag of popcorn appeared in each of their laps. Jewel heard Dalton sigh. He'd been trying to get Perry to leave them for just a minute. She leaned forward to look around their chaperone.
"Have you ever seen this movie?"
she asked him. Dalton shook his head.
"I've been a little preoccupied over the decades."
The lights suddenly dimmed and the curtains parted. Jewel leaned back in her seat and looked up at the screen. She felt oddly excited, though she'd seen the movie several times. Face it, what girl hadn't seen the famous dance movie that had turned Patrick Swayze into a dance legend, much the way Saturday Night Fever had John Travolta? Yes, Jewel knew more than just medical, historical, and other ickle facts. The movie started, and she was immediately drawn in. It wasn't until the main character, Baby, paid Johnny a visit that the tension in the room began to grow. As the two characters lost themselves in one another, with all the kissing and touching, it was as though Jewel was being slapped in the face. That was what she couldn't have, not with a man she loved. As she watched Swayze's character kiss Baby, she was reminded of kisses Dalton had given her. Her hand trembled as she reached up and touched her own lips. Jewel didn't know how it was possible for lips to ache for one's touch, but hers did. They ached for Dalton.
"Okay, folks, the on-screen sexual tension doesn't hold a candle to the sexual tension that I am sitting in between, and you two aren't even breathing the same air," Perry said, looking from Dalton to Jewel. "Either do the whole bonding ceremony, and I'm guessing since you're human you want to get married, so do that too, and then boink like bunnies, or get it under control."
Jewel's face was hot with embarrassment. She couldn't even glance in Dalton's direction. She heard Dalton whisper something to Perry, but couldn't hear the exact words over the movie. Whatever it was he'd said had Perry folding her arms across her chest and ignoring them for the rest of the movie. When it was over, Perry agreed to let them have some time alone, only if they kept two seats between them.
"And by two seats, I mean two seats between rows," she'd said as she was walking out. "I will pop in on you at any given moment. Please don't make me have to have my eyeballs scrubbed."
So there they sat. Dalton, two rows behind Jewel, turned sideways in the seat so he could see her.
"Did you like the movie?"
she asked him, and tried very hard not to blush. Dalton gave her a crooked smile.
"It was," he paused, "interesting."
"Interesting?"
"Yeah."
"Explain," Jewel prompted.
"They made a movie about dancing and some people's passion for dancing, but then they used it to justify the type of dancing that allows a man to put his hands all over his partner's body. It's no wonder the lead characters ended up in bed. They were practically doing the deed with their clothes on when they danced."
"So you didn't like it," Jewel said slowly.
"Perhaps it's because I once lived in a time when it was scandalous for a woman to wear pants, because they framed one of her many assets."
Jewel's mouth dropped open, which only caused Dalton to laugh.
"He had a great laugh," she thought. "And how do you feel about women wearing pants?"
"There is only one woman that concerns me, and when she's with me, she can wear pants or, once we're bonded, not wear pants. All she wants."
Jewel covered her face with her hands, unable to believe he was being so blunt with her. Then again, she had been the one to ask the questions. Why ask questions if you don't really want the answers?
"Little dove,"
he crooned to her.
"Have I scared you?"
Jewel let out a snort of laughter as she lifted her head from her hands.
"No, I'm not scared. Intrigued, a little embarrassed, unsure of myself, but most of all worried that we won't ever get to have that time.
"Do you trust me?"
he asked her, his playfulness suddenly gone. Jewel nodded without hesitation.
"Then believe me, Jewel Stone, that one day soon you will be Jewel Black. You will be my mate, my bride, my lover, and my friend. You will have all of me, and I most certainly plan to have all of you. Don't count us out just yet."
Did you know they did a study on cancer patients, and those who thought positively and visualized themselves getting better had a higher survival rate?
Jewel couldn't stop the information from spewing forth. She slapped a hand over her mouth.
"I'm sorry. There you were saying something incredibly emotional, and I have to ruin it with one of my factoids."
Dalton was grinning at her.
"You didn't ruin it. You were simply pointing out that statistically speaking, if we have a positive outlook on our relationship, we are more likely to see it come to fruition. Besides, I love your factoids."
"Do I even want to know what that means?"
Perry said as she suddenly appeared in the first row that separated them. "I see that you two are behaving. Good for you. I, myself, after that hefty display of dancing, did not behave when I went to see my mate."
"Perry,"
Dalton said, shaking his head as he pinched the bridge of his nose.
"You've seen us. We're not touching. Can you please come back in a little while?"
Jewel knew it took a lot of control for Dalton to say please. Whatever had happened while Jewel had been gone, there was no love lost between her wolf and the High Fae.
"Fine. I'm going to visit our pixie crew. I'll be back. I've made sure your fingers were coated in an ultraviolet light powder, so I will know if your grubby, grabby paws have been on her."
"How?"
Jewel asked as she looked down at her seemingly clean hands.
"Popcorn!"
Perry sang out the word. "Peace out, suckers!" And then she was gone.
"I think she's a little mad," Jewel said as her brow creased together.
"Perhaps," Dalton agreed. "But she cares about you and the other girls. She wants to protect you and keep you safe, and that is reason enough for me to tolerate her."
They spent the remainder of their date talking about anything and everything. Dalton had requested that they not talk about anything dealing with Vulcan.
"Today and tonight, we are just a guy and a girl on a date," he told her.
And that's exactly what it felt like as he focused his undivided attention on her. By the time Dalton was walking Jewel to her room, night was beginning to fall in Faerie. Parizada had not been back to check on them, but they'd kept their distance from one another, simply talking and learning about each other. They'd eaten dinner with Sally and Costin, and afterward, while they'd just been sitting and talking with the other couple, Dalton had noticed Jewel rubbing her forehead. She'd said it was just a headache, but it quickly got worse until she finally asked to be excused.
"Are you sure you're okay?"
he asked her as they stood outside her bedroom door.
"I'll be fine. I think I just need to sleep it off."
Her head was down, and her eyebrows were drawn together. Dalton gently placed two fingers under her chin and lifted her head until she was looking up at him. Her eyes were watery with unshed tears, and the wetness against the pale green reminded him of a lake that had become a place of sanctuary for him when he was at his darkest. Though her eyes were beautiful like that, he hated to see her cry.
"What can I do?"
Dalton whispered. Jewel just gently pulled his hand from her face and gave it a pat before stepping back from him.
"I will be fine, Dalton. It's a migraine. I've had one before. If I can just sleep, when I wake up, it will be gone."
He stared at her, willing her to tell him what else was bothering her. Yes, she had a headache and was in pain, but there was something more his little dove wasn't telling him. Finally, he relented. She would tell him when she was ready. Dalton leaned down and pressed a chaste kiss to her forehead. He didn't miss the way she tensed up. How he longed for the day when he could touch her and not have her cringe away, nor have to worry about darkness destroying him.
"Good night, Jewel Stone,"
he told her gently. Her lips turned up ever so slightly.
"I had fun, Dalton Black. Thank you for a great date."
She entered her room and shut the door without looking back at him. Dalton stood there staring at the door, still wondering what was going on in her mind. She'd been telling the truth when she'd said she'd had fun on their date. He could see it in her eyes. But when he asked her if she was okay and she'd told him that she would be fine, Jewel had given away her tell. Everyone had a tell when it came to lying, something they subconsciously did when they told an untruth. Some people had shifty eyes, some played with her hair or tugged at their ear. Jewel's tell was that she failed to spout out random information, which was something she did when she was attempting to find her footing, when she was having a difficult conversation. But when she was lying, Jewel didn't want the conversation to continue, so she kept the facts to herself in hopes of making a quick getaway. She didn't do it when she told half-truths, but when it was a full-on lie, his little dove suddenly had nothing to add to the conversation.
"What are you hiding?"
he whispered to the door, and to himself he added,
"And when are you going to learn that we are a team? You don't have to do this alone."
Perry stood glaring at the veil that refused to give her entrance. She'd spent hours attempting to flash into the pixie realm, and more hours attempting to force open the veil. And after all of it, there she stood, still in the human realm, staring at the stubborn veil. She could swear it was laughing at her.
"Do you feel any dark magic from it?"
Lucian asked from where he stood, leaning against a tall tree. She glanced at him over her shoulder.
"I feel nothing. That is what's so aggravating. I feel absolutely nothing. If Vulcan did this, he's figured out a way to mask the signature his magic leaves. He's grown more powerful than we realized at a much faster pace than we thought he could," her mate pointed out. "Makes you feel all warm inside, doesn't it? To have been played the fool," Perry snapped.
Her skin was crawling with all of the pent-up energy filling her. She'd been calling on her own magic, and each time she called it, her anger rose. It had left her a tad testy.
"He hasn't won, beloved," Lucian told her calmly. "Maybe not, but it sure as hell feels like he's got more points than us. He obviously knows that the healers are in the pixie realm. What I want to know is how he found out. Who took their little pixie butt to the Dark Fae and spilled their little pixie guts?" "So we have no way to communicate with anyone in there?" Lucian asked. "What about cell phones? Do any of them have phones with them?"
Perry nodded. "Good call, mate. We'll have to go back home and borrow Sally's." She held her hand out for Lucian, but he ignored it. Instead, he wrapped his arms around her from behind and pressed his lips to her neck.
"I get the privilege of traveling with you like this," he told her as his breath caressed her skin.
One of his hands splayed across her stomach, pulling her closer against him, while his other hand cupped her chin and tilted her head so that he had better access to her neck. Perry gasped when she felt his teeth scrape against the skin where she knew his mark was. She felt his smile against her flesh, and Perry couldn't help the butterflies that danced in her stomach.
"Shall we go?"
he asked her. She heard the humor in his voice. He loved the effect that he had on her. If she didn't know that she had the same effect on him, it might have ticked her off. But as it was, she knew, thanks to the bond, that she drove him crazy with need, and that made her pleased as punch. Unable to form any words, thanks to Lucian's stunt, she flashed them to Ferry, right into her living room.
"Sally!"
Perry called. It was late, and she figured the healer and Coston were in bed already. But she wasn't about to flash into their room. She'd learned that lesson the hard way. Now she knew that it was better just to holler for whatever pair she needed instead of appearing unannounced in their rooms. Several minutes later, a curious-looking Sally and an irritated-looking Coston came walking into the living room.
"Did we interrupt something interesting?"
she teased the obviously grumpy werewolf. Coston bared his teeth at her, earning him a smack in the gut from Sally.
"What's up?" Sally asked. "The veil into the pixie realm has been closed. I can't get in that way or by flashing," Perry told them.
Sally's eyes widened.
"Vulcan," she muttered under her breath.
"Well, that's assuming it isn't a leprechaun with a grudge toward the pixies for taking the market on roles in the Harry Potter movies."
Perry looked around at the three sets of eyes that were staring at her like she'd just sprouted a boob out of her forehead.
"What?" she huffed. "We have to consider all possibilities."
"A leprechaun? Really?"
Sally asked as she crossed her arms in front of her chest and pursed her lips at her.
"Fine,"
Perry threw her hands up.
It's a 99.9% chance that it is indeed Vulcan. The 0.1% is just giving us some margin of error to work with in case we are wrong.
I thought you were never wrong, Costin taunted.
Perry narrowed her eyes on him. I